Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. I'm so thirsty, I can feel it burning through the furthest corners of my soul. Deep desire, I can't describe this nameless urge that drives me somewhere, though I don't know where to go. Seems I've heard about a river from someone who's been, and they tell me once you reach it, oh, you'll never thirst again. So I have to find the river. Somehow my life depends on the river. Holy river, other waters, I've been drinking, but they always leave me empty like before. Satisfaction, all I'm asking, could I really be this thirsty if there weren't something more? And I've heard about a river from someone who's been, and they tell me once you reach it, oh, you'll never thirst again. So I have to find the river. Somehow my life depends on the river. Holy river, I'm so thirsty. So thirsty. I'm on the shore now of the wildest river, and I kneel and beg for mercy from the skies, but no one answers. Gotta take my chances, 'cause something deep inside me's crying, this is why you are alive. So I plunge into the river with all that I am, praying this will be the river where I'll never thirst again. I'm abandoned to the river, and now my life depends on the river. Holy river, I'm so thirsty. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, would you speak to us this morning? Teach us, lead us, direct us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Who inherits the blessings of God in eternity? Or asking the question in another way, who gets to live in heaven? Over the centuries, many people have staked their claim to the incredible inheritance of heaven and all the attendant blessings. To bolster their case, they often present their moral standards and good lives. They sometimes even draw attention to mighty works done in the name of God and intense battles they have carried out against evil and oppression. Many have built beautiful churches, cathedrals, temples, and shrines in the hope of establishing their place with God and his coming kingdom. But those people are not the ones that God identifies in our text today as the ones who receive his heritage. So who are these people that God says he will come to live with them and that he will dwell with them and be their God? Who is he speaking to when he says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and that he will forever remove the anguish of this world, the death and mourning and crying and pain of the former things? Who will he welcome into his magnificent holy city, Jerusalem? Just what sort of person is blessed to live in the city built by God himself, a city he built with precious jewels and pure, transparent gold, a city which has no need for the sun or moon to shine on it because it is illuminated by God himself? Who are the people who inherit heaven? In today's text, they're identified in two specific ways. They are the thirsty, and they are the conquerors. If you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1. The thirsty conquerors are welcomed to their inheritance. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride ordained or adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Isn't God amazing? And isn't his word
powerful and amazing, and we know it's true, and we study His Word, and He brings these things to our minds, and we just sit back in amazement. I looked at this text today, and all of the ways that God could have chosen to identify those who inherit the kingdom of heaven, here in the next to the last chapter of this book, this is how He chooses to do it. We've seen before, very, very powerful, those who have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I love that. Any that speaks of His redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, all of these ways, those who believe in Him, all of these ways, those who hold fast to the testimony of Jesus Christ, all very powerful. But in this text, as the new heaven and the new earth is presented, and this amazing, magnificent, wonderful, you couldn't say enough superlatives about when they look and they see the holy city Jerusalem descending, made out of jewels and pure gold, and huge, taking up over half the size of the United States of America land area. And that's not even counting the 1,400 or 1,500 miles that it goes up. It's in the shape of a square or a cube. But here, in this text, it says in verse 6, and to the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. In, I think 7:17, I think that's what I just read, Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Lord willing, here's what we're going to do. Now, we don't have church tonight. I didn't announce that, so I'm announcing it. Next Sunday evening, here's what I think I would like to do, and I want you to help. We've had some kind of informal Bible studies. Well, here's what I want to do. I want to see... Well, let me give you a for instance. I want to see that this prophesied over here, and now we see this fulfillment in the very end times. Okay, let me give you an example of this. John 14, verse 1, what does it talk about? It says, Jesus said, well, let me just turn there because it'll be better reading what God says than Dave trying to remember what he thinks God said. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, some of your Bible's mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. Well, now it's happening, isn't it? Jesus said... Then, when He was getting ready to leave this earth, He said, I'm leaving. He said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you and take you there. This is that place. Isn't that very, very powerful? Now, this is what I want us to do next Sunday evening, is to take some of these things. What's the very first prophecy of Christ, if you remember our Genesis study? Genesis 3. And when God cursed the serpent, he talked about the seed they would be against. There would be a battle going on, and that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Well, when is that most obvious? Christ, our texts in Revelation and Thessalonians, when Christ comes through the cloud and every eye sees Him. So all of these things, I'd like to look at some of those. We see it prophesied over here, and now we see it'll just like you have it. Do any of you like making a list, and then you check off the things that you've done? And then some of you, you go ahead and do something, and it wasn't on your list, and you write it on your list, and then you check it off, don't you? Well, there's going to be a lot of these, and it's going to be God did it. And you know why God did it? Because He promised that He would do it. It doesn't matter how cryptic or how mysterious that prophecy was. It will come one day in God in all of His splendor and glory. And so that's what I'd like for us, Lord willing, next Sunday evening, that we're going to look at that. We will end our Revelation study next week, chapter 22. And so that night, go back over And then really, if you any variety of questions you might have on Revelation, we can discuss that at that time too. But back to this text, and what just hit me so powerfully, it said, to the thirsty. So I've got to ask you this morning, are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for His righteousness? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His what? And His righteousness. It's just God's word, and it just fits together perfectly. And one day we're going to be with Him, and we'll see even more how perfectly that it fits. But we have to, one, because we have so much these ideas that we want heaven to be. Well, do you know, it's heaven is a place. It's a city that God has prepared, Jerusalem is, and it's all about righteousness. So can we ask ourselves this morning, are we about righteousness? Or are we about just, well, if I think that religion can help me have my life better and I can maintain control of my life, I can maintain autonomy, and I can take some of this religion and make my life better, that's not thirsting for God. That is not thirsting for righteousness. To thirst means to have a strong desire, to be eagerly desirous, desiring to drink, arid, parched, craving something. Is that how we feel about God? You have some very powerful scriptures in your study sheets, and we could just about just read those and call it a day, but that's not what we're going to do, so. But Psalm 42, third one down in this center section, Psalm 42, a text you're familiar with. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Do those describe your life? Because see, it's really important. See this, a casual interest in God, throwing God a bone with a little bit of religion, throwing God a bone with some token service, a casual approach to God. Well, does it identify that person in Revelation 21? It doesn't, does it? Who drinks the waters of the fountain of living water? The one who thirsts, who eagerly desires. The BibleStudies.com site says, thirst, one of the most powerful natural appetites, the craving for water or other drink. Besides its natural significance, thirst is figuratively used of strong spiritual desire. Do you have a strong spiritual desire? Because, folks, that's who inherits the kingdom of God. It's not casual Christianity. It's not Sunday morning Christianity. It's not. I'll pick up God. I'll give God the time I have left. Christianity. It's so important that we understand God is getting His last words across to us, and He tells us back in our Revelation 21:6, says to the thirsty that you're. Yes, your heart longs, eagerly desires God and the things of God. Will you fail? And as one of the guys I knew out west would say, and he'd say, and I failed, and he said, and I failed miserably. Will we fail miserably? Will we call that, the Bible would call that sin? Will we do that? Yes, we will. Of course we will. One day we won't, though. We'll see Christ, and boom, it'll all be done. His finished work, His glorification in our lives. We're not talking about walking a spiritual tightrope. We're talking about, do you crave God in every area of your life? Is He King? We sang a couple of weeks ago, all hail King Jesus. Does that stir your soul to the very depths? Righteousness. So what's righteousness? We're talking about thirsting for righteousness, thirsting for the kingdom of God, thirsting for the living waters of God. Well, righteousness, the kind of, very simply put, the kind of behavior that pleases God. Now you might say, well, that's too simplistic. It isn't. It's really a very good working definition, the kind of behavior that pleases God. Where do you find out what pleases God? Right here. We hear God, we see what He says, not what we say pleases God. God, get my attention. I'm hungering and thirsting for You. I'm hungering and thirsting for Your word of truth. Then we know the kind of behavior that pleases Him. Right actions that come from a right standing with God and motivated by our love for God. If you remember the church at Ephesus and where they had faltered. See, this would be something else that we could go back. We could actually now, after we go through Revelation, we could go back. Now that we got the end story, we could go back and examine each of these seven churches and say, where are these churches now on this day? Were these churches, those that were unfaithful, those who had the wrong gospel, were they thirsting for the things of God? Well, it's pretty obvious that some of them were not. And if they didn't repent, they are not going to be in God's kingdom. But BibleStudyTools.com again helping me out today. Alongside this is the righteousness in the new covenant, which is right thinking, feeling, speaking, and behavior on the part of disciples of the kingdom who do what God approves and commands. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll what? You'll keep my commandments. You can obey and not love Christ, but you can't truly love Christ and not obey Him. You can't have Jesus hanging out here if you need Him one day. You can't have Jesus over here. Well, my token gesture to you, He's not really Lord. He's not really King of all. He's not God Most High. He's just there, a token gesture, so I can get into heaven. Well, if that was your idea of heaven, you would be greatly disappointed, because God's idea, it's all God. God is just consumes heaven. We're going to see where there's no need for sun, there's no need for moon, because God consumes the whole place and He provides light. The thirsty conquerors. Matthew 5, 6, I read this before the song, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. See, that's one of those for the Sunday evening discussion. Jesus said this 2,000 years ago. He sat on a hillside in Israel, and He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now we have some of that satisfaction now, and it'll be fulfilled. And Revelation 21 speaks of that complete fulfillment. Matthew 6:33, I already referred to. 2 Peter 3:13, but according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. See how it all fits together? We're craving righteousness. We're hungering and thirsting for God and His righteousness. Guess what? When you get to heaven, there it is. Secondly, this morning, the thirsty conquerors inherit the holy city of God. The fan is good, but it keeps turning my pages for me. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven, I'm in Revelation 21, 9, seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. Now, this is actually not a very good time to mention this, but I forgot something very important earlier. Carrie and I, yesterday, 45 years. I think we ought to at least give her a hand for I normally wouldn't do that, but I'll tell you what, she is... Yeah, here I'm in trouble. What a blessing! The less words, the less trouble I'm in later. But what a blessing! What a woman of God, and what an asset to this church, to the work of God at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. I meant to say all that earlier. Now, am I right? And. Am I right? That was important enough to interrupt myself, wasn't it? Yes, it was. having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square. That means it's equal dimensions all the way, length, width, and height. Its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. Now, you have your King James Bible has furlongs. There's question as far as the measurement. And so it's either approximately 1,400 miles or approximately 1,500 miles. I don't think when we see this city crafted from precious jewels and pure transparent gold coming out of heaven, we're going to say, oh, it's only 1,400 miles wide. I thought it was going to be 1,500 miles wide. But just in case you run into that, in fact, our Bible translations will differ somewhat there. He also measured its wall 144 cubits, which is going to be approximately 220 feet, by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, and the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. So when Jesus said, I'm leaving you and I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, he really prepared a place. I mean, just this is real. See, if this was just kind of someone just speaking figuratively or just kind of, well, it's going to be really nice. Well, it's going to be really nice. It's going to be beyond really nice. It's beyond our ability really to comprehend. 1,400 feet wide, 1,400 feet long, 1,400 feet high. Now, it's the dimensions are a square, but that doesn't mean that the city is going to look like a Rubik's Cube or something like that. The wall is only 220 feet high, so just I don't even know how we could even picture it or try, but in our minds, but we will not be disappointed. So the thirsty conquerors, see the thirsty conquerors, those who conquer. Let me just back up just a minute. I know we're doing pretty good on time, really. Let me go back to, I mentioned all this about thirsting, but I didn't say much about conquering. So do we thirst for righteousness, and have you conquered the world? Well, what does that mean? Well, 1 John 5:4-5, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is 1 John 5:4-5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What is our faith? Our ability to believe God. Do you believe God over anything and everything else? Do you believe God over the voice of this world, over the philosophers, over the wise men of the age? Paul said in writing to the Corinthians that God makes that wisdom look like foolishness. And the foolishness of God, it embarrasses the wise of this world. Back to my verse, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So thirsty conquerors. So we have to ask ourselves, it's kind of the same as with thirsting. Have we actually conquered, or do we talk about it? Do we have faith that's overcome the world? Do we believe God that much? Do we truly believe in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and have received his gift of eternal life? Or is it just a token gesture? It's the same thing. It's the casual Christianity. It's say it just in case it's true, and then I've got that box checked. Well, there's going to be great disappointment then in heaven, because heaven, God knows every human heart. And heaven is only for the thirsty and only for those who conquer this world by their faith in Jesus Christ. So now back to the second main point. that we just looked at, the thirsty conquerors inherit the holy city of God. And then lastly this morning, the thirsty conquerors inherit the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. In verse 22, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. We could just go over that so quickly, couldn't we? We got to take just a minute and let that soak in, that there's no church building, no beautiful cathedrals. You've seen some of these churches and the beautiful ceilings and the arches and all of this. The temple there is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. Whose inheritance is that? It's ours. You say, well, we don't deserve that. No, we don't. We couldn't do anything to earn it. It's by grace, through faith, no works. But there are some requirements. Do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for His kingdom, for His righteousness? Have you believed in Him and received His gift of eternal life? The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter into it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. That great white throne judgment we talked about in our last Revelation 20. And the books are going to be opened, but there's not going to be anything there that's going to save anyone by that time, as they're standing condemned before God, if their name isn't written in the Lamb's book of life. See, we can give people, we can give them false hope. We can give them a religious pipe dream, and we can say, oh, these promises. Oh, look, honey, you're sick. But God's going to one day wipe away every tear from your eye. That might not be true if they're not one who's thirsty for God and His righteousness. They're not going to be there to have the tears wiped away from their eyes. If their faith isn't the faith of in God and of God that allows them to overcome the world, they're not going to be there. We need to tell people the truth. We inoculate them. We give them a little something. Oh, I'm going to make them feel better. Well, how do you think when they're going to feel when they're before the judgment of God? Now, maybe they would have chosen the path of death and destruction anyway. In fact, it's very possible they'll choose that. But what kind of servants of God are we if we don't risk our lives? And what I mean by that is maybe not literally our lives, although it could come to that, but risk that friendship, risk their love, risk them kicking us to the curb. How much do we truly love them to keep that human relationship and not tell them truth? Because everyone does not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So, two questions, I'm finishing up. Do you thirst? Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty for His righteousness? Do you love this book? We're not going to do it because you wouldn't cooperate anyway, and I wouldn't do it anyway because I'd have a lot, possibly several people upset with me. But have you read this book this past week? Have you read it and received it, the Word of God, like the Word of God, like it is? See, it's kind of hard to imagine that you love God and you're thirsting for God and you're thirsting for His righteousness, and this book has such little say in your life. These are the holy words of God, aren't they? Is it hard to understand in places? It sure is, but it's just real clear and simple. And so many that it'll speak to us. It's not a matter of being able, intellectually able. It's a matter of the will. So, are you thirsty? Do you truly have faith in Jesus? Have you conquered the world? Because that's what I've got to tell you. I've I've got to tell you the truth. If you haven't, this wonderful picture, this beautiful city descending, this new heaven and earth, God saying it's done. Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true. I'm making all things new. This isn't just a facelift or a remodel. Can you imagine if some rich person said, I'm going to go build you a new home. When God said, again, Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Well, this is it. And this description that we have, as amazing as it is in Revelation 21, what did I tell you, that truck driver I used to say? That ain't nothing. This description, that ain't nothing compared to what it's going to look at, to look like, to what it's going to be. To understand the embrace of a holy God who is a consuming fire. And he will embrace you and be pleased and joyful with your company. But that's only for the thirsty. And that's only for the conquerors. Will you pray with me? Father, I just pray that you've spoken to our hearts. And Lord, I'm amazed every single day. You, through your word, through your involvement in my life. What a privilege, Lord, to share these things. Help us to take these things to heart. Lord, if there's anyone here who has the slightest doubt that they will speak to me or someone else, who can help them to see where they need to be before you, to see where they can be in complete righteousness and acceptance before a holy God. Thank you, Lord, for this good day. Thank you for your care and your watching over us. In Christ's name, amen.